This morning, we can stand as we read God's word, because this is the good news, and he's telling us what we can do to make things right with God. This is the turning the corner from all this sin and wrath that God has been it's been kind of a condemning approach in these last couple of messages, but today we turn the corner. So stand with me as we read from Romans chapter 3, verses 21 through the end of the chapter. This is said to be one of the most important chapters in the Bible, certainly one of the best news passages in the Bible. So just join with me as you follow along with your Bibles. It won't be up front there, but follow along, listen, and hear the word of the Lord. But now God has shown us a way to be made right with Him without keeping the requirements of the law, as was promised in the writings of Moses and the prophets long ago. We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God in His grace freely makes us right in His sight. He did this through Jesus Christ when He freed us from the penalty for our sins. For God presented Jesus as a sacrifice for sin. People were made right with God when they believed that Jesus sacrificed His life, shedding His blood. This sacrifice shows that God was being fair when He held back and did not punish those who had sinned in times past. For He is looking ahead and including them in what He would do in this present time. God did this to demonstrate His righteousness, for He Himself is fair and just. And He makes sinners right in His sight when they believe in Jesus. Can we boast then that we have done anything to be accepted by God? No, because our acquittal is not based on obeying the law. It is based on faith. So we are made right with God through faith and not by obeying the law. After all, is God the God of the Jews only? Isn't He also the God of the Gentiles? Of course He is. He is only one God. There is only one God, and He makes people right with Himself only by faith, whether they are Jews or Gentiles. Well then, if we emphasize faith, does this mean that we can forget about the law? Of course not. In fact, only when we have faith do we truly fulfill the law. Lord, I thank You for Your word. And I thank You for this passage. And as we open it up, Lord, I know I'm going to miss some things, but I pray that Your Spirit just brings things to our minds, to the hearts of the individuals here today, what You want them to hear, what You want them to see, how faith makes us right with You through Jesus Christ. Thank You so much, Lord, for Your gift. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. As a result of impeachment proceedings back in 1974, if those of you that are that old can still remember that, President Nixon decided to resign rather than to face the impending, most likely, impeachment that was heading his way. Several months after he resigned and his successor took over, President Gerald Ford, pardoned Nixon, gave him a full, unconditional pardon for any crimes that he might have committed while as a president against the United States. Ford would later justify his decision to do so by a Supreme Court decision that suggested that a pardon carried imputation of guilt, or it implied guilt, and that acceptance of that pardon carried confession of guilt. Paul made his case for humanity's guilt in Romans chapter 1, 18 through chapter 3, verse 20. We've been through that, three messages on man's guilt, humanity's guilt. And he turns the corner now and he says, he turns the corner and he makes a turn to God's answer to humanity's guilt, the solution, the good news that makes us right with God. Paul used some pretty big legal terms to explain how God does this, how he makes us right with him. And it may sound something like this. Hold on. As a result of God's grace, we are justified by the atonement of the redemptive blood of Christ, which provided the propitiation for our sins by imputing his righteousness on us when we place our faith in him alone. I see some blank stares. One amen, that was kind of, amen. I'm sure you recorded that, correct? These are words we don't use very often. One of them was used in the opening, the imputation, the implication of guilt. A more commonly used, or more common way to state that would be like this. Maybe this will help to summarize this passage. As a result of God's kindness, we are made right with God. Through trusting in Christ, who took the penalty for our disobedience on himself at the cross. That's pretty clear, isn't it? We'll unpack that this morning about the God of the universe granting you full, complete pardon through Jesus Christ. That's amazing. So let's open this up at chapter 20, or verse 21 of chapter 3. But now God has shown us a way to be made right. How are we made right with God? That's the question I want to answer this morning. And if by the time you leave today, you're still in question, we need to make an appointment with the doctor, and we'll see if we can clear up some things that might be foggy in your brain, or give you some pills to keep you awake or something, because after today, you should know how you can be made right with God. This is a sharp turn from where Paul was going in the last several weeks that we've been studying Romans here. He turns his focus from the sinfulness of humanity to the solution of this problem, which is the good news that we can be made right with God through faith in Jesus Christ. This is something that was promised in Moses' and the prophets and the writings. They revealed that righteousness, right standing before God, does not come through keeping the laws, but by faith. And we'll see more of that in the story of Abraham in the weeks to come, in chapter 4, when we cover that. We are made right with God by faith in Jesus, verse 22, by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. Okay, let's define some terms. I'm going to flash some terms up there, and if you want to write them down, that's fine, and to help you remember it or clarify where I'm coming from when I use these terms, and hopefully that's clear, that's where the Scripture is coming from as well. Faith, it means to trust. Just like you have faith in that seat that you're sitting in now, or you would have never sat down. Some of you are standing. Oh, Anna, okay, she did have faith. She did sit down. You have faith in that chair that's going to hold you up. So you trust that that chair will do what it's designed to do. Faith is trust. It's confidence. And in our context here, it's belief in Jesus Christ to forgive our sins. The solution is available to all, as we read in this verse. It's available to all. Regardless of your background, regardless of your past behavior, it is available to all. We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. In verse 23, because for everyone has sinned, we all fall short of God's glorious standard. Let's define sin. Sin has a connotation of missing the mark. It's like if you're shooting an arrow at a target, if you've done that at camp at all. I remember at junior high camp going to the archery course, and I can remember seeing arrows go all over the place, and it took more time searching for the arrows than it did pulling them out of the target. Many of the kids missed the mark. Sin is missing the mark. The mark God created for us as human beings to hit. He wanted us to glorify Him, to honor Him, to reflect His character, and we have all missed that mark by some degrees. As we discussed earlier in Romans chapter 1, we've traded glorifying God for glorifying trinkets. Sin is all about dishonoring God and honoring other things. Bless you. Sin is about dishonoring God and honoring stuff in place of Him. Verse 24, we are made right with God by His grace. By His grace, we are justified freely by His grace. The New American Standard, NIV, says it this way. All are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Let's define justified. Here's a good way to remember this one. It's stuck with me, and I think it's pretty simple. Just as if I'd never sinned. Justified. We are justified just as if we'd never sinned because of God's grace and through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. We are justified just as if we'd never sinned. We've been declared right, and it's a gift. We don't buy it. We couldn't afford it if we could buy it. But it's a gift from God. He freely gives it to us. We didn't pay for it. We could never pay for it. We could never earn it. It was a gift. It's His grace, His kindness. Grace is just simply kindness of God. God's grace is His kindness. He is so kind to us. Redemption. That's a good term. Redemption means a ransom, to be delivered at a cost. Released as a payment of price, we've been ransomed. We've been held captive by sin's snare and his chains, as we've seen in chapter 3, verse 9. The Son of Man didn't come to be served, are to be worked for, but to give His life as a ransom, to pay for our penalty, to pay for our release, the release of captives, those held hostage by the power of sin and death. That's why He came, and to give us, to pay the ransom that was required for our release. Verse 25 to 20, the first part of verse 26. We are made right with God by faith in Jesus' sacrifice. Verse 25 and 26. Let's read those again. For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed His life, shedding His blood. this sacrifice or this atonement, or your word in your Bible might be propitiation. This sacrifice shows that God was being fair when he held back and did not punish those who had sinned in times past. For he was looking ahead and including them in what he would do in this present time. We are made right with God by faith in Jesus' sacrifice. That sacrifice is our atonement, our propitiation. It's the same word for that, or the term that is used for Jesus' sacrifice that satisfied not Satan's demands, but God's demands for justice. Jesus Christ, his sacrifice, shedding of his blood, paid the demands, met the demands that God required for our release. Amen? That's something to sing about, really. It really is. When we place our faith in Jesus' sacrifice, we are made right with God. Now looking into this atonement a little deeper, the law required that every year at the Day of Atonement that the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies and offer a sacrifice for the sin of the people once a year. And it was a pretty meticulous thing that they had to go through a certain cleansing process and everything, and it was quite an ordeal that once a year they would make this sacrifice that was required to meet the requirements of the law. And it was offered on the mercy seat to atone, to make payment for sins. It was a temporary covering for the people's sin. It looked forward. It was a shadow of the perfect sacrifice that was to come in Jesus Christ, who became the atoning sacrifice once and for all, the final one, ending all other needs for animal sacrifices, because God sent his son Jesus to be that final sacrifice, to meet the demands that he had for the payment of our sins. And it was retroactive in this effect for those who had sacrificed all these sacrifices over the years in faith, looking forward to Christ's coming. They were saved by their faith. And we have the privilege of looking back at this awesome demonstration of God's love for us. Have you placed your faith in Jesus Christ? Have you accepted that gift that he has given for our atonement, for our payment, the sacrifice that we deserve to pay? Have you accepted that gift? Trusting in Jesus. Trusting that a sacrifice, that he sacrificed his life for us, makes us right with God. Verse 26, the last part of verse 26. We are made right with God by faith in Jesus. Verse 26. God did this to demonstrate his righteousness, for he himself is fair and just. And he makes sinners right in his sight when they believe in Jesus. Because God is fair and just, he justifies just as if they had never sinned. He declares them innocent, those who believe, who have faith in Jesus. Verse 27, can we boast then that we have done anything to be accepted by God? Absolutely not. Because our acquittal or our justification is not based on obeying the law. It is based on faith. Our innocence is based on our faith in what Jesus Christ has done. And again in verse 27, we are made right with God by faith, not by works. Not by obeying the law, verse 28. And in verse 29 through 30, we are made right with God only by faith. Again, all people are declared right before God, who is over all, on the basis of faith and faith alone. And here's a bonus one. The more I read it, the more I looked over it. I got a bonus one for you. We are made right with God only when we have faith. Verse 31. After all, is God the God of the Jews only? Isn't he also the God of the Gentiles? Of course he is. There is only one God, and he makes people right with himself only by faith, whether they are Jews or Gentiles. In verse 31, well then, if we emphasize faith, does that mean that we forget about the law? Of course not. In fact, only when we have faith do we truly fulfill the law. You know, without faith, it is impossible to please God. It is impossible to come before God without faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. And when we come to Him, when we have faith, God empowers us to hit the mark. To hit the mark that God has designed for us to hit. To live the way that He wants us to live. To live holy lives reflecting God's character. And if your life is not reflecting God's character, you have not come to faith in Jesus Christ and what He has done for you. Because when you do, your life will begin to reflect His character and His glory. The Jews were concerned that Paul was going to doing away with the writings of the Old Testament in his talk about faith and justification and freedom from the law. They thought he was doing away with the Old Testament, but nothing could be further from the truth. Salvation through faith helps us understand why Abraham was chosen, why the law was given. It helps us understand God's dealing with Israel over the years. It helps us understand how He wants us to live. Couldn't have been further from the truth, and Paul wanted to make sure that they understood that fact. Do you get it yet? Have you filled it in? Have you filled in the blanks? I go back over those blanks. How are we made right with God? We are made right by God by faith in Jesus. By His grace. That's the only one that's a little bit different. But by His kindness, we are made right with God. But it's through faith. And in the next one, we are made right with God by faith in Jesus' sacrifice. We are made right with God by faith in Jesus. We are made right with God by faith, not works. We are made right with God by faith, not works. We are made right with God only by faith. And in our bonus one, we are made right with God only when we have... Do we got it? Do we have it? I was looking for a sign at the auction I went to. I love to go to auctions, but I had a day off on Tuesday, so I went to the auction. It was a fascinating auction. I just love this old stuff. But I was looking for a sign. I wanted a sign from God. And God gave me a sign. But they had a whole bunch of signs, probably 40, 50 signs. And they were old signs. They had good paint on them. They're just, you know, collector stuff. 20, 30, 40, 50. I don't want to pay 50 bucks for a little illustration here. Lord, give me something. I couldn't find any right-hand turn signs. I wanted one, since that was the title of her sermon, you know, right turn ahead. I wanted one of those signs. And it came down to the end of the auction. There's some junk here, and I was kind of curious what some of this junk was going to go for. And there laying in a pile of bicycles was a sign, and I turned it over. It was a right-hand sign, right-hand turn sign. Oh, man, maybe I got a chance. I told my brother, okay, I got to go check on something else. You watch that. Don't let it go. let's just spend 25, 30 bucks. We have to. The bid started out at $2.50, not 250, $2.50. That's where it stayed. Nobody wanted this shot up, peeling sign that was beat up, trashed, and rejected. Nobody wanted it. It was the only right-hand turn sign on the lot. And I got to thinking, Jesus Christ made a right-hand turn for you and me to the cross. And he was despised, he was rejected, he was assaulted, he was insulted, he was beat, peeled off his beard. He did that for you and for me. I couldn't have asked for a better sign at a better price. But it really made the point come home to me that he made a right turn for us. Have you made a turn back to him? Made the right turn back to him? There was a Jewish leader named Nicodemus. He was high up in the Jewish court. And he came to Jesus at night when it was dark. And he came to Jesus and struck up a conversation with him. He said, Jesus, we know that you're from God because God has to be with you for you to do signs like you've been doing. Jesus turned to him and said, I tell you the truth. Nobody gets into the kingdom of heaven unless they are born again. And Nicodemus kind of looked at him puzzled, I'm sure. And he said, Jesus, you know, or teacher, I'm old. How can I crawl up in my mother's womb and be born again? A little ridiculous. Jesus said, truly, I say to you, truly I say to you, no one can enter into the kingdom of heaven. Nobody can enter into the kingdom of heaven unless they are born of the water and of the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, and the Spirit gives birth to the Spirit. You shouldn't be surprised by this, Nicodemus. The wind blows where it may, and you hear it, but you don't know where it comes from, and you don't know where it goes. It's the same way with those who are born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said, still don't get it. How can these things be? Jesus said, You're an educated Jewish teacher. You should understand these things. I tell you what my testimony is, but you still won't believe me. And if you won't believe me when I talk about earthly things, how are you going to believe me when I talk about heavenly things? No one has ever gone up to heaven and come back. But the Son of Man has come down from heaven. And just as Moses lifted him up, lifted the serpent up in the desert, so the Son of Man has to be lifted up and will draw all people to himself, when people who trust in him will be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should never perish, but have eternal life. For God didn't send his Son to the world to condemn the world. He sent his Son to save the world. And whoever has faith in Jesus will have eternal life and pass from judgment into life. We see two more instances where Nicodemus comes back into the picture. One where Jesus is being tried. This is probably couple years later than this exchange here. And he asks for justice to be done in the trial. They ignore him. They continue on with their trial. And Jesus is crucified. And then the next time we see him is when he comes with Joseph to retrieve the body of Jesus off the cross and to put him into the tomb with a respectable burial. I have a hunch that Nicodemus came to his senses and the Spirit clarified in his life that he needed Jesus' sacrifice to cleanse him and to give him eternal life. Where are you at? Where are you in your journey? Are you walking by faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he paid the penalty for your sin and my sin? Are you walking in that light? Are you still walking in the darkness as Nicodemus is, trying to figure it out, trying to figure out a way, maybe kind of like the rich ruler that we talked about last week, I think it was, trying to find a way in other than by the faith that that's required in Jesus Christ. Have you surrendered your heart to Jesus? Have you accepted by faith his sacrifice? What an amazing, amazing gift, isn't it? It's an amazing gift. We don't have to pay for it. All we have to do is unwrap it. He empowers us to live a life that reflects his character. That's one way we know that we've actually unwrapped that gift, is if that our life is reflecting his glory once again.